There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me.
Chuck Oliver Show! Kicking off hour two on this Monday. I appreciate everybody. Oh, the middle of May. Everybody coming here for your college football conversation. Dan, can I update your personal calendar? Your schedule just changed.
Sure, go ahead.
Next Thursday and Friday, you're hosting. You down?
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, I'm going to New Orleans.
All right.
And this is just personal commentary. I don't know. I've said there is just about nothing of a like recharge the battery sort of standpoint that 3 days in New Orleans won't cure. It's a walking city, which means you can get everywhere you need. You don't need the hassle. The food is elite, the beverages, the friendliness, the if you want culture, I don't have culture. So if you want it, it's there for you. And maybe I do have New Orleans culture, I'm saying. But as far as like the Jackson Square and the street artist and all that stuff, if that is your bend and you want to some options as far as artwork and things to hang on the wall to bring home, you got all of that in New Orleans as well. But for me, it's mostly going to be great breakfast and coffee and fantastic meals and whatever else is going around in New Orleans. But that's going to be next weekend. Actually, we wind up being 4 days there. So I am looking forward to that. There is something that we were talking about the the Missouri starter at quarterback is going to be Jack Abraham, transfer from Mississippi State, late of Hattiesburg. And over the course of the 18, 19, and 20 season, he started most of those three seasons. He had a concussion at the end of October in the COVID year. It's like, out. Now, there are a lot of play, and I don't know anything about this. Jack Abraham, don't know the kid at all. I could pick him out of a police lineup. I could recognize him by face. But he was like, yeah, I'm not accusing anything. I'm saying that there were a lot of kids looking for a reason to get out of the rest of that season. He had a concussion. And so you're looking up going, it's a weird season anyway. We've only got like three games. I'm out. Well, then he was really out. And he transferred to a place where it was not even hedging your bet. It was kind of throwing dice. It was betting on yourself. I bet I can do this. I bet I can. If you want to be Gardner Minshew, do you know what Jack Abraham had stared at the previous season? Gardner Minshew, who was not going to play in the NFL. Gardner Minshew starting in the NFL, not for a good team, but he was starting. And then after the draft, when he wasn't going to start, he was still going to be on the roster and maybe even still play. Gardner Minshew has an NFL career, and he's got a pension now. Do you know why? In large part, because he got a scholarship to go play one season for Mike Leach at Wazoo. And I've told you the recruiting pitch. The allegation was I'm leaving East Carolina to go back up in Tuscaloosa. I think he just wanted to get on radar, and that's fine. Be strategic, kid. Make the system work for you. Mike Leach, back up. Come here. Lead the nation in passing yards. Okay. So Jack Abraham's looking around, again, calculated and had to be strategic about it. And he is a big boy, and he made his decision. Didn't work out. But he made his decision. He's like, you know what? They're going to throw the heck out of the ball. I know that. That can be me. And maybe if all things were equal, like there were still 4 years of eligibility remaining for you, maybe if all things were equal, then Jack Abraham would have won the – things weren't equal. Will Rogers had played some. And what was I just saying? Will that like Eli Drinkwitz He can't force himself to not give Abraham the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth chances to win that job. So Mike Leach, it works the same way, but it's even ramped up more when it's this guy's played for me. Jack Abraham had played way more college football. Mike Leach looked at Will Rogers and said, he's played for me. And then that trumps it. You know, three of a kind or straight. You got to know what trumps what. It can be awkward at the poker table if you don't know. So he calculated and didn't come up for him. He can still play. He can still produce. And he may actually get to do that at the SEC level, which was what the idea in Starkville was. So that's what's going on there. We talked a little bit last week, and I mean just flew past it, but there is a giant assumption that most of us, and Chuck's hand is raised, there is a giant assumption most of us are making about the SEC this season, and it could determine the conference title. Virtually all of the commentary I've read and heard regarding Ole Miss this season, Ole Miss this season from me included, almost all the commentary regarding the Rebels, is Lane will lay hands on the play sheet or the quarterback depth chart or somehow just roll right along offensively, spinning gold with the play sheet every Saturday, late night on SEC Network. Woo, do you see what Lane did? They were playing Arkansas and they scored 47. And that's an assumption we make. Maybe they play Arkansas and score 47. I don't know. Dan, make a note. Maybe they score 47 against Arkansas. But do you know how little concern most of us have about replacing Matt Corral and the latest batch of receivers? Boy, they've added fun pieces. Not necessarily a sure thing of quarterback, because the big story coming out of spring was, hey, if you're counting Luke Altemeyer out of this thing, you probably shouldn't count Luke Altemeyer out of this thing. I don't know about Jackson Dart because, and I'm trying to remember, in fact, we have Nick Suss coming up, bottom of the hour. Yeah, we have Nick Suss coming up, Clarion Ledger, and I'll ask him about this. But as I'm recalling the spring game, like they divided it up that, like Jackson Dart maybe had the second team offensive line and was going against the first team defense or something. And it didn't matter because they weren't going to run the ball that much. I mean, Zach Evans played some and Bentley and I didn't really run the ball a whole lot at all. And you're not going to do that in spring game, not with scholarship backs who you have plans for. You're going to give them some run and everybody's going, okay, there's Zach Evans. All right, we know what he looks like now. But, and so the ground, you could have just lined up if you were Luke Altemeyer's team, because I think they had the first team offensive line and the really, really good running backs, that you could have just steamrolled, but there was no point to that. It wasn't about saying, can the first team left tackle block the backup defensive end? Can we mash? Can we grind out a spring game victory? Do you know how little value there is in grinding out a spring game victory? Air Force throws the ball in spring. So you were going to throw the ball, and when you didn't protect the quarterback, suddenly their defense had one big play, went back for a touchdown. But otherwise, it was about, all right, how are we going to protect the quarterback? And I think they had like six sacks. So I don't know how Jackson Dart actually played. I'll ask Nick Suss about it. I don't know how Jackson Dart actually played. Very, very not as easy as it should have been to digest that because of the makeup of the team and the blocking and everything else. Folks, that was against the Ole Miss defense, which I expect to be better, and it was just a spring game. We are assuming that once they get into real games against SEC competition, and they play in the West, we are assuming, all of us, me included, I ain't got a care in my mind right now until this weekend I started thinking about it. I was like, wait a minute, what do we, I don't care in my mind right now about the Ole Miss. Ole Miss, boy, they're going to score. Can they play a little defense? What if they don't score? How much defense do they have to play? What if they're not scoring 39, 43, 35, 50? What if they're not scoring all of that? I called myself out. I went back and I looked at my yellow legal pad, my black ink pen. I scrolled back a few, several pages, actually. I was like, yep, there it is. My top three concerns, this was, I don't know, from about a month ago. My top three concerns, Ole Miss following the Grove Bowl. One was defense. My top three concerns were defense, special teams. There was my top three concerns. Nowhere did you see quarterback or offense or anything else. Oh, yeah, plug and play. Now, if I was conducting a seminar previewing Ole Miss for the coming season, yes, I would have talked about the quarterbacks and everything else. I was sketching out notes, and the first three things that came to my mind, none of them were offense or quarterback. That's a mistake, folks. Call yourself out, too, because you've done it as well. All right, we're going to break. Come back. Continue with Chuck Oliver Show next.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. Dan Matthews momentarily in for Chuck. And right now, let's go to the phone lines. Let's talk with a good man, and we'll call him a good buddy of the show. He is Brad Crawford, content strategy, college football editorial, 24/7 sports, at bcrawford247 is how you find him on Twitter. Brad, how are we doing today?
Dan, good to hear from you, man.
It's always good, buddy. Let's just get it right off the top. Where's Jordan Addison going?
If I had to guess, I would say Southern Cal. I know Texas still feels pretty good after that USC visit over the weekend. I talked to a Texas insider that we employed this morning, and they said, you know, Jordan did not commit over the weekend, so that, you know, no news is good news, so to speak. But I think it's down to Texas and USC, and, you know, I would throw Alabama's hat in that mix too.
And I believe he did visit Alabama over the weekend. Is there anybody else that is going to have their chance to be able to show that their program, or is it just those three that you mentioned?
I think it's those three. You know, I don't see there being any chance he comes back to Pitt after Pat Narduzzi kind of nuked that opportunity in the media in recent days. I would say Miami was a team early on I thought had a chance. Mario Cristobal has landed several top transfers and, you know, has signed some guys before his first season. But if I had to guess right now, man, it's USC and Texas and Alabama's third.
Brad Crawford, again, 24/7 Sports, joining us here on the show. And you mentioned Texas. I know one of the guys you're pretty high on in one of the pieces that you just did for 24/7, Quinn Ewers, new quarterback at Texas. What makes you such a believer in the Ohio State transfer?
Yeah, he's one of the top-rated players in our 24/7 Sports transfer portal rankings. And, you know, just seeing Quinn up close before and, you know, watching him in the Texas spring game, I think it's clear that he's the best option at quarterback for Steve Sarkisian. You know, last season the Longhorns struggled at times at the quarterback position, stumbling to that 5-7 season. That can't happen again. I think Sark knows that. And, you know, the best-case scenario for Quinn is he's the one quarterback transfer, I think, nationally who has the best pieces around him. Xavier Worthy at wide receiver. Texas has added two Bama guys in Jaleel Billingsley and Isaiah Hall, and has Bijan Robinson, who's arguably the nation's top running back, coming back. So I think Texas has a shot at winning the Big 12 this season, and Quinn Ewers is a big reason why.
Again, Brad Crawford, 24/7 Sports, joining us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck. One of the things, though, that probably has to be a concern, though, Brad, is the at least lack of offensive line depth there and really just the belief in that group. I mean, how much of a concern do you think that is going to be? And do you think that that's something that Steve Sarkisian is here in, the next 3.5 months going to really try to hit the portal and try to find help in?
Yeah, I think Texas at the line of scrimmage, really the last 5 or 6 seasons, has been that program's Achilles heel. You know, part of the reason why the Longhorns aren't back, so to speak. I think last season Texas ranked near the bottom of the Big 12 on the defensive side in sacks, and then, you know, yielded several sacks again. So not only does the offensive line have to perform with a first-year starting quarterback and Quinn Ewers and, you know, block for a Doak Walker candidate, as I mentioned, and Bijan Robinson, but, you know, the pass rush on the other side of the ball has to be good as well. You know, the one player that Texas did not sign this transfer cycle that the Longhorns really wanted was O'Shawn Mathis out of TCU. Let's be honest, Nebraska outbid Texas for him, and, you know, that's something that we don't often say, Texas being outbid for players.
Yeah, especially now in the age of name, image, and likeness, that is for sure. Brad, let's get into the current SEC. We were just talking about Texas, future SEC, but in this case, current. And that's the South Carolina Gamecocks. And speaking of the transfer portal, Shane Beamer and his staff have been working overtime this offseason. And one of the players they pulled in, Spencer Rattler, who I think a lot of people had higher hopes for than he was able to reach at Oklahoma. But now he has a chance there in Columbia. Are you a believer in him that he can have a really good 2022 for the Gamecocks?
I think he can. And, you know, it kind of goes back to Texas and Quinn Ewers. You know, will he have the support from that offensive front that doesn't bring back too many starters? I think Spencer Rattler, you know, besides maybe Caleb Williams at USC, he's the biggest name transfer quarterback who has made a move as far as a significant impact scenario. You know, South Carolina played 4 starting quarterbacks last year. At one point, was down to its 4th team guy, a walk-on the Gamecocks did not expect to play. And Shane Beamer was still able to win 7 games, you know, including that bowl victory over UNC. So, you know, the pieces are there for South Carolina now to be good on offense. Spencer Rattler is the highest-rated quarterback the Gamecocks have ever signed, you know, going back to his high school rating as a 5-star, one of the top players in that cycle. But as you mentioned, you know, Spencer Rattler has a fresh start. You know, part of the reason he signed with the Gamecocks is to, you know, get in a NFL-caliber, NFL-style offense, and I think Spencer can really do that if he has protection.
Let's flip over to the West, Alabama. What kind of difference can Jahmyr Gibbs make?
Oh, I think he's going to be a certified star in that backfield. You know, last couple of years, Bama's had a bruiser in Brian Robinson leading the charge there. But, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs kind of offers a different element. You know, Bryce Young's back at quarterback, won the Heisman last season. You know, Alabama does not have that true wide receiver one right now, in my opinion, despite, you know, signing Jermaine Burton from Georgia out of the portal. So I think Jahmyr Gibbs, the guy who's going to get, you know, 35, maybe 40 catches out of the backfield. He's going to get 20 to 25 touches a game. And if he stays healthy, I think it's possible that he could not only lead the SEC in rushing, but, you know, he might be a guy that right now at, you know, 5,000 to 1 or so might be a decent Heisman pick.
And let's continue on with Alabama, because I know that you did a little deep dive into their schedule this season. They got the early test in Austin against Texas. It's going to be hot. It's going to be a raucous crowd there at DKR Memorial Stadium. I mean, do you see any tripping hazards for Alabama in their quest to try to get back over the top in 2022, 2023?
You know, this is one of Alabama's toughest road schedules I can remember in the Saban era. You know, we don't know how LSU and Ole Miss are going to look this season, you know, but with new quarterbacks for each of those teams. But both those games come on the road in November. You know, they have to travel to Texas early, as you mentioned. The second SEC game is at Arkansas. Arkansas is a team that's probably going to challenge for 8 or 9 wins. And, you know, going back to that Arkansas game last year, man, Arkansas had them, you know, on the rope, 7-point game early in the fourth quarter at Alabama. And, you know, a couple of turnovers here and there, Alabama was able to win that game. And then at Tennessee, another team who I think is top 20 capable this season if Hendon Hooker is, you know, a magical type player at quarterback, which, you know, most of us expect he will be. So Alabama has 4 or 5 road games that are sort of dicey. And if I'm, you know, betting that over under right now of 11.5 wins, I'd probably take the under and say Bama wins the West, but does finish 11-1.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch. There's no doubt about that. At B. Crawford is how you find Brad Crawford on Twitter. At B. Crawford 24/7 is his Twitter handle. Content strategy, college football editorial, 24/7 sports. Just a couple more for you, Brad. And this one can be as long as you want to make it, but it's a pretty quick, right, direct question. Better season, Brian Kelly or Billy Napier in year one?
Oh, that's a very tough question, too. I think LSU has better top-to-bottom talent right now for Brian Kelly to win. I would say this, LSU's schedule is tougher than Florida's. You know, they're going to have that head-to-head meeting. I think it's in mid-October between those two teams. I'm looking at the schedule now. That game is October 15th in Gainesville. So we're talking about probably a head-to-head matchup there where the winner of that game, you know, could probably finish 8-4. I do like Florida's quarterback and Anthony Richardson, but, you know, listening to Billy Napier all spring, man, he has mentioned how, you know, that roster just needs more transfer portal help. I don't think Florida's done, and LSU has a top three class in terms of that transfer portal, you know, Hall, Brian Kelly's had. So I like LSU to bounce back from last season's lackluster finish, and Florida's a team I think gets to a bowl game, but, you know, getting past seven wins, I don't see that happening for Billy Napier in year one.
All right, let's continue the crystal ball here. November, is Texas A&M playing meaningful SEC college football playoff impactful games in the final month of the regular season?
I don't think the Aggies will, because the meat of that schedule happens in September. You know, they play Arkansas, I think, it's September 24th, and then they play at Alabama 2 weeks later. But between there is a road trip to Mississippi State. You know, we've seen top 15 teams go to Starkville in the past and lose. I think that's a game that, you know, Mississippi State's a 6 or 7 win team, but that's a game that if A&M does not have elite quarterback play, you know, they could very well lose that. You know, the November schedule does set up nicely for A&M. I think they host Florida, go to Auburn, and host LSU. That's probably 3 wins there for the Aggies. But I think this, you know, season will be defined in October for A&M. And, you know, right now, the reason I don't have A&M as a Final Four contender is, you know, we still don't know who the starting quarterback for Jimbo Fisher is going to be, whether it's, you know, the guy they got from LSU from the portal, you know, Max Johnson or Connor Weigman, or, you know, we just don't know. Haynes King, there's three guys who are still battling for that job that, you know, fall camp are going to know more. But right now, I would not put A&M in that national title hunt.
Well, I mean, you know, just a lot of great stuff covered here, Brad, and so much more that we could cover. So that means we got to have you back on here pretty soon. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Brad Crawford, again, content strategy, college football editorial, 24/7 sports. If you're on Twitter, follow him at bcrawford247 is how you can find Brad's work. Brad, really appreciate the time, buddy. Let's catch up again soon.
Thanks a lot, Dan.
All right, Brad Crawford. And, you know, with Texas A&M, look, talked about it numerous times with Chuck. That's a situation now where if you're an Aggie fan, soon enough, if what he said becomes true this season, then don't you think that A&M fans are all of a sudden going to start looking at Jimbo Fisher and saying, yo, $9.5 million a season, like, is this really what life is going to be like? Or are you going to finally pop off a 10-2 maybe, or maybe even an 11-1 and get us into the conversation? Because I know that AL.com did the joke about Hope leaving Georgia, because Georgia's done it. Georgia's reached the mountaintop. But if you think it's going to change over there at Georgia in terms of the expectations for Kirby Smart, no. Anything less than reaching the national title game and winning the national title game now is a disappointment. For Texas A&M, I think there's the thought of looking at Jimbo Fisher and saying, everything you've asked for, we have given you, facilities, money, all of that. But the quarterbacks, like, when is that actually going to be a thing here? Because you've said for the longest time how big of a quarterback whisperer you are. Now you got to prove it, and now you got to get us to Atlanta at the least.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community, because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Catch the kick.
king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
I believe in an NFL game, I think a perfect passer rating is 158.3. I think that's what I don't. By the way, I can't tell you how you get there. I don't know. Bunch of touchdowns, no interceptions seems to be top of the list. But whatever. If you're perfect, the highest you can get is 158.3. I don't think that if Luke Altmaier or Jackson Dart would have gone 158.3 in the Grove Bowl, I don't think Lane Kiffin still would have announced a starting quarterback. That's just not what that game was going to be, not that day. And they didn't really run the ball. And I don't know about Jackson Dart, really, because they didn't really block. I think he would back that up. Here's what a spring game is. I told you earlier in the show, I was talking about the Ole Miss quarterback gig. And I said I went and found my yellow legal pad, where with my black ink pen, that's what I make all my notes on. And I went and found it from, I don't know, a month ago or so, whenever the Grove Bowl was. I can't tell you. There's a kid who apparently is on scholarship at Ole Miss named DeSanto Rollins. I can't tell you anything about him. Apparently he did something in the spring game because I wrote his name on the side with a circle around it and then a star, which if you get the star, that means you did two things good. I don't know anything. I don't even know if DeSanto Rollins is still there, but I loved him in the Grove Bowl. That's what a spring game is, folks. Want to welcome on right now from the I bet he can tell me about DeSanto Rollins. From the Clarion Ledger, Ole Miss beat writer, Nick Suss. Nick, how are you today?
I'm good, and I'm ready to talk about DeSanto Rollins if you want, but I'm sure you kind of want to get to the quarterbacks at some point.
Well, was there anything that happened? Like, did he win the punt, pass, and kick contest? I mean, was there any reason? Because I got his name written down.
I think he had a sack and a half in the first quarter.
Outstanding.
So there was a lot of very early production. I think he actually left the game with a concussion at some point.
Oh.
But he did have a sack and a half.
You know what? Mystery solved. All right, well, let's get back to the quarterbacks thing. It would have been a very unrealistic outcome to me if walking off the field, Lane Kiffin would have said, hey, you know what? Jackson Dart, he just picked it up so easy. He's the starter. Luke, you should transfer. Or vice versa. That would have surprised me. Where do you think it actually stands right now? Is his lack of a declaration a true reflection on what it is?
I think that what it is right now is they have avoided saying the part that everybody can infer, which is Dart was behind this spring because he isn't as versed in the offense as Altmaier is. And they're both smart kids. They're both smart quarterbacks. Altmaier had a year to learn under Matt Corral, had a year to learn in this Lane Kiffin offense, early enrolled last spring. And he very, very marginally, let's not say it was obvious, but he very, very marginally outperformed Jackson Dart for most of the spring. Now, the difference is when Dart was good, he was that much better because of the immense talent in his arm and just how much of a downfield threat he is, how aggressive he is as a quarterback. But Altmaier's more comfortable right now, and they're probably going to use this summer to see if Altmaier can develop some of that aggression downfield, those traits that Dart is so good at, and also see if Dart can get more comfortable, grow more ready within this offense, which is pretty particular. There aren't too many teams in the country that run the type of offense that Ole Miss does, and it is pretty tough to pick up if you're transitioning from certainly last year running the air raid at USC or a modified version of it. So it would have been crazy for them to name a starting quarterback, and I think it's probably going to be until the middle of August before they name one. And sometimes it feels like, oh, well, they're going to pick Dart. He's the guy they brought in. He's the big name. He's the big ticket item. They're going to pick him. Sometimes it feels like, well, I see these guys, and Altmaier is the one who seems to be in control, and he's the one that got all the first team reps in the spring game and this and that. So I don't know. It's still kind of up in the air, and the perception, I think, nationally is that Dart's going to be the guy. But if you think back to 2020, just about everybody nationally thought John Rhys Plumlee was going to be the guy and Matt Corral was going to be the backup.
And I did.
Clearly that didn't happen. So I was sitting here in Oxford telling people, hey guys, Corral's going to start. And no, the idea was, oh, it's got to be Plumlee. So I think sometimes some of the national perception on Dart might be missing the point, mm-hmm. but there's still a pretty good chance that Dart can win the job.
All right, I want to talk receivers, but you brought something up there. Can I ask you about, because I don't think you and I have talked this about John Rhys Plumlee working for Gus, because Gus swears, nope, it's going to be like Nick Marshall getting a DeLorean. It's 10 years back. We're going fast. And I was like, all right, that may work for John Rhys Plumlee. What is your impression? What do you suspect happens in Orlando this year?
I mean, if that's the offense they're running, then John Rhys Plumlee is going to run for 1,000 yards. I mean, let's not pretend that this wasn't a guy who started 8 games at quarterback and threw 5 touchdowns. He is not, or at least he wasn't in 2019, a developed passer. He is a run-first option. And if that's the offense they're running, he's going to work well in it, but it becomes somewhat one-dimensional. And when you were playing SEC teams, sure, John Rhys Plumlee ran for, I think it was 130 yards a game, but they went like 2-6 in those 8 games. So there is something that isn't super easy to win with if you're running that. And obviously Gus Malzahn's version is different than Rich Rodriguez's version of the read option spread. But I don't know. I think he will be successful. I think he will be productive. But I think when you are playing the top tier teams, it's awfully hard to run the ball 75-80% of the time and still a team that wins.
Yeah, you know, I've talked about the mustard seed. If you really want to go back in Division I football, at least that Illinois team with Juice Williams when Loxley was the OC. I was like, folks, go YouTube that. I was like, it's beautiful to watch. And nobody even runs that version. It's like Rich Rod at West Virginia with Pat White and Slayton. I was like, it's unbelievable. Nobody does it anymore. Continuing Nick Suss, Clarion Ledger, Jordan Jernigan, anything there other than, hey, I bet I can play more later? I bet I can play more at a different place?
Yeah, probably. I mean, they have brought in, I think, 3 transfer portal receivers this year with the addition of Jalen Robinson, speaking of UCF yesterday. And so they bring in Jordan Watkins from Louisville. They bring in Malik Heath from Mississippi State. And they've also signed, I think, 5 receivers in the last 2 years, if I'm doing the math right, Braylon Brown, Brandon Buckhalter, J.J. Henry, Jeremiah Dillon, and Larry Simmons. So they have a lot of depth at the position. The question is, do they have any good depth? Because they signed, I think they've signed 4, maybe 5 receivers under Kiffin who have played so far, and not a single one has caught a pass yet. So they do have to figure out how to get these guys involved. They lost Dontario Drummond, Braylon Sanders, Jakur Pearson, and Plumlee, 4 of their 5 leading receivers from last year. There's going to have to be some new people who step up other than Jonathan Mingo. And you think you go out and get Jalen Robinson, who was a one-time All-AAC player. You get Jordan Watkins, who led Louisville in receiving last year, and Malik Heath, who was pretty productive at Mississippi State, albeit in an air raid offense. But somebody like Jordan Jernigan, who'd been on campus for 3 or 4 years and had never been a factor in the offense. I mean, it makes sense for him to move on, and I don't know where he'll go, but somewhere like a Southern Miss or a South Alabama, just probably a step down where he can probably play a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, when you just check in on Saturdays and you're not at practice or talking every day, like I remember last year for about 10 minutes, Dannis Jackson became my favorite Ole Miss receiver, and my buddy's like, that, you know, there's a window on a particular Saturday and it comes and goes. Let's talk about a couple of more transfers. Ulysses Bennett ain't get a whole lot of run. I mean, no, they didn't just line up and mash the ball in spring. There's no point to that. Ulysses Bentley, what do you think his eventual role is? Is he more in the pattern or is he getting handoffs?
I think that they are going to probably end up using Zach Evans, Ulysses Bentley, and the freshman Quinshad Judkins in a similar way to the way they handled Ely, Connor, and Parrish last year. There's also Kentrell Bullock, a returning junior, who's going to probably factor into the rotation, but I said that at this time last year, too, so we'll see. I don't know. I think that Bentley is the quote-unquote speed option in this offense. I don't know how that manifests itself. I think that Zach Evans is probably too talented, the TCU transfer. I mean, he's averaged 7 yards per carry both of his college seasons. He's a really, really good running back. And I think he's probably a little too talented to touch the ball 40% of the time like Ely was last year as the feature back. But I think Bentley, just as a change of pace, dude is so quick. I mean, there is a burst off of him. I think he only had 6 carries and 1 catch in the spring game, but he accounted for close to like 120, 130 all-purpose yards. Dude's really talented. I think he was second team all AAC at SMU in 2020. Dude's a good player. And the thing that I've spent 4 years now explaining to people is Lane Kiffin does not run the air raid. He does not run a pass first spread. They run the ball more than they throw the ball.
Oh, absolutely.
Any year they're good. Yeah. And so this offense built around Zach Evans, who will probably in the short term end up being the most important player from this number one transfer portal class. And then you have Bentley and you get right tackle Mason Brooks from Western Kentucky. And you are really rebuilding this team to be run first this year. And so I think Bentley will be a huge asset there just because you don't want Zach Evans touching the ball 300 times. He's not built like Derrick Henry or Devin Singletary when Lane Kiffin did it with those guys. You kind of want there to be that change of pace, and he is a very shifty, very veteran change of pace guy.
Last thing for Nick Suss, Clarion Ledger. I don't know. I mean, there's no reason for the typical, you know, Rebel fan for he or she to watch a lot of Texas Christian football. I can't get enough of Kari Coleman. I think that kid can be a monster, but he comes over from a conference that maybe you don't really watch or even respect, honestly, if you're an SEC fan. I think that kid has a chance to really make an impact, especially hitting quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's interesting because they're kind of – the way Ole Miss's defense is shaped, they don't necessarily have a position comparable to what Kari Coleman did at TCU. They're kind of fitting him in their inside backer role, and if they could use him as their quote-unquote N'Kobe Dean-type player, where he's your inside backer who's also playing in the backfield a lot, he could be pretty valuable there. But the bigger question for this defense, and he's going to be a big answer for it, is you're losing a lot at linebacker. And I'm not sure if your listeners are too familiar with names like Chance Campbell,
Mark Robinson, fantastic.
Lakia Henry, etc., Momo Sanogo. They lost four of their top linebackers from last year. You bring back Ashanti Sistrunk, who was pretty good. You bring back Austin Keys, who's coming off of injury but was pretty good. You still need to replace all of your best interior linebackers. So you go get Troy Brown from Central Michigan. You get Kari Coleman from TCU. And I think they signed 4 linebackers in this recruiting class, 1 JUCO and 3 freshmen. They are really rebuilding that room. And I think Troy Brown, he was 3-time first team All-MAC at Central Michigan. He's probably going to be your thumper in the middle, take away the run, get 100 tackles and a 3-2-6 kind of defense guy. But Coleman, he's a little bit more of that. Every team has a different name for the position, the Jack, the Maverick, whatever you want to call it.
Money, all of it.
He's a guy who can move around, kind of be that mobile third down linebacker that you want to have, who can set the tone in the pass game and also kind of against the pass rush. So, yeah, I think that he's going to be a factor, but they need him to, you know, adjust to the SEC, just like they need Troy Brown to adjust to the SEC.
Nick, fantastic. Thank you, man.
Yep, anytime.
All right, he's got a blue check, so I know it is him. At Nick Suss, 3 S's, at Nick Suss on Twitter. And, yeah, really looking forward to him getting into the SEC. And I don't want to overspeak this, but it is an opportunity to do a lot of different things with a kid and line him up in a lot of different areas. He's a little bit of a sniper. I don't know. We've talked about this. Everybody knows this example. I think they should. That, like, Todd Grantham always had that one position. That guy, he was like, all right, you're in the money spot this year. You're going to be the guy who has a chance. Like Brendan Cox thinks, that's supposed to be me last year. I was supposed to have 12, 13, 15 NFL sacks. And that's kind of the position that Kari Coleman can play. I can do a lot of stuff with him, man. And he played most of the past 2 seasons and produced. Like I said, and specifically getting in the backfield, tackles for loss, big impact plays, et cetera. You get the quarterback, that's how you really win. So that's what it is. All right, we're going to take a break. Wrap up on Monday next.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation, to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
College football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Best teams I played on, our best players practiced the hardest every day. They set the example every day. They were sitting in meetings, taking notes, paying attention. Our young players are like, holy cow, this is how they do it here, right? I'm gonna take notes. I'm gonna pay attention. We got on the practice field full speed.
Speaking to the Notre Dame football program, talking about his experience playing for Phil Fulmer, and it was quality. Never won the SEC. I think they only lost one non-conference game during Peyton's 4 years there, when he was the starter, because he took over for, didn't he take over for Todd Helton? Like the guy who went on to play first base for about 15 years for the Rockies. So Peyton takes over in his freshman year, and then it's 11-1, 10-2, 11-2, and they finish top nine all three seasons. They didn't beat Florida, did they? Not with him. And they didn't win the SEC. No, they did win the SEC. I take that back. In fact, I was there that night. Dad, gummit, Chuck. Yeah, they beat Auburn, actually. So just a tremendous career for Peyton, but he is talking to the Notre Dame team right now. And same sort of thing. What window is Notre Dame in? Well, they won 54 games the past 5 years. And so there is no context. There is no explaining that away. There ain't nothing you got to say in response to that. Well, what about championships? Well, they're not in a conference, not really. And so even in 2020, when they sort of had a chance to win, they could have won the ACC title without really being a member. They were just going to play. But otherwise, they're not a, so they can't win a conference championship. And so it really is about season totals and thus get into the playoffs and national championship, and they hadn't done that since 1988. It's not the worst sin of a football program to have been Notre Dame over the last 34 seasons, especially if you look over the past four. Actually, I'll go back past five seasons. 11th, 5th, 11th, 5th, 8th. Hadn't won a national championship. Been to the playoffs twice. Hadn't won a national championship. Got hammered in the national championship game, and that was always going to happen when they played Alabama. But what Peyton is saying to a large degree is right. And if you look on the side of the fridge under the magnet on the top of the list where it says sports rules, everything matters. It's the Derek Dooley thing I've told you about. I mean, my gosh, who's talking right there? Peyton Manning's like, folks, hustle at practice. What you're doing in the locker room, classwork. That was his message just then. This is everything matters. This is what success looks like. So that when a new 25 or 27 or with some coaches now 35, depending on if you back count to last year and are going to gray shirt and not count until next. So you can get like 35, let's say. You get those new folks coming in, it is entirely different for an incoming freshman from high school. But even for a transfer, and I'll say Tennessee or Notre Dame because that's what he's talking about. How many transfers Notre Dame's taken? But anyone who shows up, even if you are a junior or senior, you look around, and I've transferred to Notre Dame from Wisconsin. And I look around, I'm like, all right, well, this is how we did it at Wisconsin. These are my standards. And then it's just different. And sometimes it's not as good, but in most cases, it's just different than how they did it. You fit in. When you look around and realize that, well, almost everybody else is kind of doing it at a certain, not just a certain way, but at a certain level. And so I guess I'll do it at that level too. I'm telling you, it's real stuff, folks. So that's, again, Peyton Manning talking to Notre Dame program. Dan, how are you on this Monday?
Oh, man, so far so good. You know, we hadn't even talked about it today, but you did talk about one part of the equation that I'm about to mention, and that is you started the show talking about Georgia Tech, how football, basketball coach can get the AD fired, but they've got some issues. But there is something now that immediately after just hearing you talk about that to start the show, I see the news from over the weekend that Dan Mullen is going to be a contributing resource, is what Lake Oconee Academy tells the local paper there in the area, which Lake Oconee, if you're not familiar, not too far from Athens, nice lake community.
East of Atlanta. Rich community.
There very much. So a lot of coaches live out there, and apparently Dan Mullen's son, I think, is going to play golf there at Lake Oconee Academy. They're going to live out there. All very nice. How can, if you hear that bit of news, if you're Jeff Collins, not pick up the phone and say, however much as an analyst you come in? Now, I know what the next response is going to be. Well, what about Chip Lindsey? I think if you're Jeff Collins, you know what this season is. You know that this is make or break. You know that if it's another three-win season, four-win season, something like that, this thing completely goes off the rails and off the cliff, you're out of there. And they're going to take the bath, and somebody is going to step up at Georgia Tech and say, yeah, I can't have any more of this. I can't have any more sayings. I can't be told how great the future is going to be and the greatest turnaround and all these different types of things. Todd, this being Todd Stansbury, we're in year four. If it ain't better now, it ain't going to get better. And in this case right here, if you're Jeff Collins, I think you go out there and you make a phone call to Dan Mullen and say, hey, our offense, I need help, and I need your help in a huge way. And if the current OC gets upset about it, you say, I'm the head coach. I make the decisions here. You don't like it? This is my ship. You're welcome to leave, and you can go find an opportunity somewhere else before the season. I don't think you're going to. So I think if nothing else, maybe play nice and try to figure out a way for both of you to try to make this offense a very viable thing, because guess what? I'm looking in the range of needing 5-6 wins to be able to continue to have Georgia Tech head coach Jeff Collins as part of my name. If I don't have that many wins, then I'm probably free agent coach Jeff Collins.
I'm not being nice about it. I'm being an adult about it and telling veteran coaches, oh, is it Chip Long, the new OC? Or whoever on the staff. This is big boy football. And I am trying to stay employed. That's what they're all going to know. We're all trying to stay employed, but me especially, because if I'm fired, all of you are certainly fired. And so maybe you have a one-on-one conversation with whoever the offended coach may be, DC, OC, wide receiver, recruiting coordinator, I don't know, special events director, and say, we're doing this so that we all succeed. Get on board. Paychecks ain't bad. Wraps it up on a Monday, folks. Back in 22 hours more with Chuck Oliver Show.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.